All right, so we'll say good morning. New Perek. So bottom of Chof Vov Amud Beis says the Mishnah. Bakol Ma'arvin U'mishtazis. So we'll say now we get to a wonderful new sugya, which, you know, it's interesting. We've been learning about a lot of these concepts already, but now we're actually going to get to see them inside. So in terms of Eruv Chatzeros and Eruv Tchumen, these are two different types of Eruvim, where people go ahead and join together, people who exist in a common Rishus, and they join together to form one entity through the collection of food. Right, so for example, an Eruv, so just quickly, Eruv Tchumen, I have 2,000 amos, let's say I want to extend my Tchum on Shabbos, I want to extend my Tchum for Shabbos, and if I want to extend my Tchum, I have to do it before Shabbos. So now what do I do? We'll see all of this inside, but just quickly so you understand the concept. The idea would be you have 2,000 amos, let's say, for example, from the edge of your house or from the edge of habitation. A simple way that a person could go ahead and extend their tchum, there are two ways. Number one, a person could stand in a particular place at the onset of Shabbos. Where you stand is considered to be your makom shvisi, your domicile, and you can measure 2,000 amos from there. And if a person doesn't want to stand around on Erev Shabbos, what a person could do is a person could take food, deposit it in a particular place, where home is where my food is, and therefore my tchum is measured from the place where the food is deposited. That's Erev Tchum in a nutshell. Erev Chaseros is spoken about extensively. Let's say all of us live in one chaser. We want to be able to carry from our homes to the chaser, from the chaser to our homes. Midrabbanon, we need to join together to create a common rishos. So how do we do that? We collect food from everybody in the chaser, deposited in one person's house, it becomes halachically as if the entire chatzar belongs to one person, and then for the mice, so we can all carry in and out of our homes. The shaila now is going to be, what type of food items can you use for Erev Chatzeros and Erev Tchumen? So it says the Mishnah, Bakol Ma'arvin, we can make an Erev out of everything. Rashi says, Bakol Ma'arvin, Erev Chatzeros u'tchumen. So about Erev Chatzeros and Tchumen. U'mishtatfin, and you can also make a Shituf Muvos. So also we've seen this already before. So Shituf Muvos is what? We have, right, multiple Mavuos open, we all want to go ahead and be able to carry in the Mavui. So essentially Shituf Muvos is the same thing as an Erev Chatzeros. Just instead of making it for the Chatz, you make it for the Mavui. So you can go ahead and make these Eruvim with all types of food items, Chutz min ha-mayim u'min ha-melach, with the exception of water and salt. Water and salt can't be used for Erev Chatzeros, Erev Tchum, or Shituf Muvos. Why not? Look at Rashi. Chutz min ha-mayim min ha-melach, delav midi de-mazonim. Now, I will say, literally what this means is, these are not considered to be midi de-mazon. Midi de-mazon means they're not nourishing items. Now, what does that mean? What is pretty nourishing? The idea is that Chazal understood that important food is midi de-mazon means something that really satiates. That's what we're talking about over here. Not just sustains and keeps you alive, but satiates. So Rashi says over here, the time of the Erev Mishum, the Daito, Vidirasa B'makom Mizonosav, Erev works because home is where your food is. All of these cases, both for Erev Chatzeros, Erev Tchumen, and Shituf Muvos, you need significant food items. Because in all of these cases, the food creates the domicile. Therefore, it's not just enough to have any food. You have to have what's called midi d'zayni, something that nourishes and satiates. Therefore, the Gemara Mishnah says you can use anything you want except for water and salt, because water and salt don't satiate. V'akol nikach b'kesef ma'aser. Similarly, Rabbi said ma'aser sheni. Right, so we know ma'aser sheni means the tithe that's yours to eat, but you have to eat it in Yerushalayim. The Torah says, let's say I have too much produce to bring to Yerushalayim, so what can I do? I can go ahead and redeem the produce with money, bring the money to Yerushalayim, and buy stuff to eat in Yerushalayim. So what could I use my Ma'aser Sheni for? I could buy anything I want with money in Ma'aser Sheni. Chutz min ha-mayim u'min ha-melach. Except I can't use Ma'aser Sheni money to buy water and salt. Hanot mo, which means also, let's say you bring to Yerushalayim with your Ma'aser Sheni money, you have to use your regular money to buy water and salt. You can't use Ma'aser Sheni money to buy water and salt. Hanot min ha-mazon. Similarly, if someone takes a neder not to get benefits from mazon, mutar, the melech umayim. One is permitted to eat water and salt. right? Because again, water and salt don't fall under the umbrella of mazon. Ma'arvin l'nozir b'yayin. So we'll say, now the Gemara switches gears for just a little bit. You can go ahead and you could make an eruv for a nozir with wine. And I will say, of course, the chiddush over here is that even though the nozir can't partake of this wine, it still works for his eruv. We'll discuss why. Or the Yisrael b'truma. Similarly, you can go ahead and make a eruv for a Yisrael with truma, even though the Yisrael can't eat truma. Sumchus omer b'chulin. Sumchus says no, for you can't make an eruv for Yisrael with truma. Rather, you can only make it with chulin, unconsecrated property. So Rashi says, well, let's go right there. So b'chulin, the coin b'beis, excuse me, sumchus omer b'chulin, or the coin b'beis apras. Similarly, you can also go ahead and make an Eruv. This would be talking about really like an Eruv Tchumen. You can make an Eruv Tchumen for a coin, a base of pras. Base of pras, that we will see, is a field. Is a field in which there is a chashash that there was a grave, but the field was plowed over. So the concern in a field like this is there may be bone fragments throughout the field. So we normally tell a coin not to go through such a field, although we'll discuss if a coin does need to traverse this field, how exactly he does it. So you can go in and you can put the Erev of the coin in a Beis HaPras. Rabbi Huda Omer Afilu Ben Akvaros. Rabbi Huda says you can even put the Erev of the coin in a cemetery. Type of Chav Zayin. Why? Because as we will see, there is a way for a coin to be able to even get into and travel across a cemetery. Essentially, Rashi points out over here, Lachos, Lachos, Laasos, Mechitza, Beino, Obeina, Kever, Shlo, Yahil, Alav. Ukigon, Bishida, Table, Migla, Yikon, Shami, Baodyom, Bagalos, Im Yirta, Ama, Chazile. So we'll see if there are ways, if let's say a coin is in a particular type of wagon, that he could ultimately encase himself against the tumah of the cemetery, in which case then the Erev would be accessible. So I say we will see, obviously we'll explain these cases in the Gemara, but what's interesting is two things over here. First of all, the shaila is going to come up, does my Erev food have to be edible by me, or is it enough that it's edible by someone? Nafkamini would be, could I use truma? Right? Number two, does my Erev have to be accessible to me, or is it enough that it's accessible to anyone, i.e., can a Kohen go ahead and put his and have his Erev Tchumen put in a cemetery? So we'll see all of these shilas in the Gemara. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. So we'll say, now the Gemara begins on a little bit of a different topic. The Gemara picks up on the fact that the Mishnah began with an interesting phraseology. The Mishnah begins with a klal, a principle, and an exclusion. So therefore the Mishnah says, Bakol Ma'arvin, you can make your Erev from everything, chutz, with the exception of Mayim and Mazon. Mayim and Melach. So says the Gemara, Amar Rav Yochanan, Ein lemeidin min haklolos. In general, you can't learn from sweeping principles. What does that mean? Look at Rashi. Ein lemeidin min haklolos. Kol heichon disnan klal, lo amrinan dafgohu, the ika klal, the lo dafgohu, we'll say, the ika mili delesnohu, bahu klal, ki hanach ta'amin alakamah. So we'll say, what Rav Yochanan is suggesting is the following. Sometimes when the Mishnah makes a principle of like bakol or kol hazman, anytime, all the time, that's not always exact verbiage, right? Meaning sometimes just because the Mishnah seems to state a sweeping rule without exceptions doesn't mean that what? That there aren't exceptions. There aren't exceptions. V'afilu b'makom sh'ne'emar bo chutz. Even, interestingly enough, if the Mishnah uses the word chutz, what does the Mishnah say? Or Rabbi Yochanan is saying it like this. Sometimes the Mishnah will say, bakol, right? Let's say the principle applies all the time, except cases A, B, C. Sometimes, even when the Mishnah says, except cases A, B, C, the exception is not what? Is not limited to A, B, C. Sometimes there are additional exceptions, even more than the ones that are stated in the Mishnah. So if you must admit, the kamrapidu the malkum shenemar b'chutz, from the fact that Rabbi Yochanan phrases his statement, even in a place where it doesn't say chutz, where it does say chutz, excuse me, nichlal delav hocha koi. It sounds like Rabbi Yochanan is not really coming from our Mishnah, because we also remember our Mishnah talks about hakol and chutz. It sounds like Rabbi Yochanan is actually commenting on something different than our Mishnah. So the Gemara says, hecha also hecha koi. What is Rabbi Yochanan referring to? Hasam koi, kol mitzos ase shazman grama, anashim chayavos v'nashim keturos. So also the Mishnah in Kiddushin says that all time-bound commandments, men are obligated and women are exempt. The shalom azman drama, but non-time-bound commandments, echad noshim, the echad anoshim chayavim. Both men and women are obligated. So the Gemara says, uklalohu, v'chol mitzas asei shazman grom anoshim peturos. Now, remember, we'll say, the way the Mishnah stated is what? It sounds like you have this overwhelming, sweeping principle, that any time you have a time-bound commandment, women are exempt, and no exceptions. And the Gemara says, really? Are there no exceptions? Hare, I'm sorry? Yes. Right, Rabbi Yochanan.
Our Mishnah is a list.
Don't worry about our Mishnah right now. We're going to see. We'll bring in our Mishnah later on. Right now, we're just looking at this. Rabbi Yochanan just coming to tell us that anytime you see a klal, just know that sometimes, the klal is not as klaliistic as it seems to be. So, for example, the Mishnah seems to put forward a klal that women are always exempt from time bound mitzvahs. Mishnah says, Shazman Krama. Mara says, is that true? Hari mitzvahs simcha hakel. The mitzvah, excuse me, Hari Matzah Simcha V'Hakel. Look at these three mitzvahs. We'll say, right? Matzah. So, right? So, again, in Yarni Diyala, look at Rashi. Matzah Laila Harishon L'Chova Sasehi. Remember, when it comes to Matzah, Matzah is a time-bound commandment. Right? It only applies the first night of Pesach. And yet what? Because Torah says, Erev Tochlu Matzos, Ushar Kol Yomim, Imratza Lihistapik Bebasar, Belolechem In Chova Alav Lechol. So yet we know that a woman is obligated in matzah, even though matzah is a time-bound commandment. Simcha, I will say, so Rashi, v'samachta ato ubeisecha hari noshim b'mashma. So I will say l'maiso, so we know that women are also obligated in the mitzvah to rejoice on Yom Tov. Now, interestingly enough, the Gemara ultimately learns that Rashi quotes the rest of the Gemara Pesachim, where the Gemara understands that essentially because the Torah links the prohibition of chametz and the assay of matzah, that anyone who is obligated in the prohibition of chametz is what? Obligated in the positive commandment of matzah. So that's the limud. It's no different, by the way, that it's the same way that Shabbos is also a mitzvah assay shazman grama. And yet we're not obligated in Shabbos, in which the Gemara learns that because anyone who is obligated in the low assays of Shabbos, the prohibitions, is obligated in the assays of Shabbos. So, but it doesn't, the mechanics of it don't matter. The point the Gemara is making over here is, here you have a principle, and yet what? And yet what? We see that there are exceptions to the principle. So mitzvah simcha, hakel. So as Rashi points out, hakel, b'moed shnas hashmita, b'chag ha-sukos, ha-melech omeid al-bima b'chor lifneihem, mitzvahs mishnah Torah, k'disu v'soto, v'ksiv ha-anoshim ha-anoshim v'atav. So we'll say hakel, which is the gathering on the sukkis after the Shemitah year, women are obligated to be there as well. So mitzvah simcha v'hakel, v'mitzvahs asei shazman gramu, v'noshim chayavos. So you see over here three, and there goes, it happens to be that there are more examples, but here you see that even though the Mishnah set a principle, the principle is not absolute. Furthermore, furthermore, is it true that women are obligated in all non-time-bound commandments? After all, Hari Talmud Torah, right? Jabo say again, women are not obligated in Talmud Torah, right? Which means, again, women are not obligated to actively set aside time each and every day to learn Torah. Period of Arivia. Look at Rashi, by the way. Talmud Torah, Nashim Peturos Dechsev, so the Gemara learns that from the Drasha that you have to teach your sons, you don't have to teach your daughters. From there the Gemara learns out that women are supposed to, everybody has to learn Torah, because you can't really know what to do if you're Jewish without learning Torah. The idea of Talmud Torah means actively setting aside time each and every day to learn Torah. That obligation is not incumbent upon women. Period of Arivia. So furthermore, Pru Revu is not an obligation. Interestingly enough, the obligation is on men. The mitzvah is not on women. Period of the Abish, say the obligation. Period of Rabbi Rashi says, Dechsiv, Peru or Ravu Umilu, Vikiv Shuha. See, interestingly enough, the way we learn out that women are not obligated, period of Rabbi, the Gemara says, is because Torah says, Peru or Ravu, so be fruitful, multiply, fill up the world, Vikiv Shuha. Kiv Shuha means dominate the world. So the Gemara says, Ish Darko Lichbosh. It's interestingly enough, because Kavisha has almost like an aggressive tone to it, so therefore the Gemara learns out that Lemaisif was the Ish Darko Lichbosh and any Isha, therefore because the juxtaposition of Kivshuha to Period Verivya, therefore women are exempt from Period Verivya. Actually, women don't have the obligation of Period Verivya, and Pigyon Haben. So Pigyon Haben means redemption of the firstborn. So the way Rashi points out over here is, the way the Gemara, the drush of the Gemara is, only he who is obligated to be redeemed is obligated in the mitzvah of redemption. Rabbi said it doesn't mean to limit the mitzvah of pidyon upon a father who himself is a bechor. What it means is whoever is in the parsha of pidyon is obligated to redeem his son, which means a male. Anyone who is not in the parsha of pidyon, there's no redemption for female firstborn, is not obligated to redeem his son. So Rabbi said all of these examples are mitzvos aseh shelo hazman grama. The reason he brings down pidyon haben as an example of a non-time-bound commandment is although it doesn't take place before the 30th day, once that time comes, the mitzvah is holy. The mitzvah goes on. Much in the same way, interestingly enough, bris milah. Bris milah is also an example, really, of a non-time-bound commandment. Because although, again, you can't do it before the 8th day, once the 8th day comes, the mitzvah goes on. The obligation is day and night. So the Gemara says, just pointing out over here, the mitzvah shel hazman grama, v'nashaturos. So these are all examples of non-time-bound commandments, and yet what? Yet women are exempt. Ela amar Rabbi Yochanan, ein lemeidin min haklolos. But Rabbi Yochanan says, we don't learn out from principles. Va'afilu b'makom sheneemar bochus. So we'll say, all Rabbi Yochanan is trying to show over here is what? It's just sometimes l'maisa, when the Mishnah phrases something as a sweeping principle, just know that as much as it sounds absolute, there are exceptions to that as well. Amra Vaivi Tema Rabbi Yirmiyah Af Ananami Tanina. I'll give you another example of this. Ot Klal Acher Amru. They said another principle. Kol Shenisa Agabi Hazov Tomei V'Kol Shazov Nisa Alav Tor. So anything that is carried by a Zov becomes Tomei. And anything that carries a zav is tahor. Chutz min haroi lemishkav u'moshav ha'adam, with the exception, of course, of something that is made for sitting or laying down on, or for that matter, a person who carries a zav. V'sulaka, are there no other examples? V'ha'ika merkav, I bet there's something that a zav would ride on, which also becomes tamei. Hai merkav hechidami, what's the case of merkav? If you're talking about something that a zav sits on, hayu moshav. Okay, then of course we just said before, anything that a zav sits on becomes tamei. So the Gemara says, anon idiyasev alei hayu moshav, anon hachi kamina. This is what I mean to say. Ha'ika gava du'uchba. There is the top of the saddle. Dizanya ha'ukav tamei moshav. The saddle itself is tamei because the zav is sitting on top of it. Ha'tafus tamei merkav. And also, interestingly enough, the tafus. Tafos is, there must be an English term for this. You know, like on a saddle, there's the top on part, there's the part on top that you're not sitting on, but you hold on to.
It's called the pommel.
Yes,
pommel.
It's a little knob which you hold on to keep your balance.
Yeah, right, good. It's a pommel. Okay, fine. So that, interestingly enough, so the Maisa, you're not sitting on that, but that's Tommy because you have a picture. Oh, she got a picture in there. All right, that's called that. Right? It's not tummy because of moshav. You're not sitting on it, but rather it's tummy because of merkav, because it's something you are riding on top of. Again, even though you are not physically sitting on it, it's part of something upon which you are riding. So I will say just again, it's just another example of here. We started with a principle of what seemed to be an all-encompassing principle, and now we've seen that there are exceptions to it. Ela shmamina elamidim naklalos. So therefore we just see that Lamaisa, even when the Mishnah says a klal, and even when the Mishnah gives a list of exceptions, just know that sometimes there are even more exceptions than the ones that are written. Amra Avina V'Yitim Rav Nachman, Af Anan Nami Tanina, we could even bring a ride to this from our Mishnah. What does our Mishnah say? Tanina, excuse me, Af Anan Tanina, Bakoma Arvin, you can make an Erev Chatzeros and an Erev Tchumin, Umishtatzvin, and a Shituf Mavos with anything, any type of food, with the exception of water and salt. The rest of a sulaka, are there no other examples of food for which you cannot use for an eruv? Baha'ika, kimehin, upitrios. But yet we have truffles and mushrooms. So we'll say we will see truffles. Truffles will not consider to be a big delicacy for Chazal, apparently. Right? So truffles and mushrooms cannot be used for eruv. For Erev, as we will see a little bit later on. So the Gemara says, so here you see that the list of the Mishnah is not all-inclusive. Ela shmamina, ela meidin min haklalos, va'afidu b'malkom shnei marbochus. So just see the statement of Rabbi Yochanan is correct. That sometimes, even when the Mishnah says a rule, a general rule, a principle, a klal, even if the Mishnah lists exceptions to that rule, just know that that list of exceptions may not be complete, and in fact, it's very possible that there are additional exceptions as well. Okay. Or Rabbi Yochanan is coming to teach us it's just a stylistic idea in the Mishnah.
Why is this? It's confusing. The Mishnah wants to learn.
Oh, why is it like that? I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. Hakol mikach bekesef meiser. So now the Gemara says, the Mishnah said that anything can be bought with money of meiser sheni, with the exception of water and salt. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yossi, Brachanina, Chad masni a'eruv, the chad masni a'meiser. So we'll say, interestingly enough, so Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina, one taught this rule regarding a'eruv, and one taught this rule regarding meiser. What rule are we talking about? Chad masni a'eruv, listen to this. So one taught it referring to an a'eruv, lo shno el, or lo shanu ela mayim bifne atzmo, umelach bifne atzmo. When we say that you can't use water and salt for an Eruv, Eruv Tchumen, Eruv Chaseru, Shiktuf Muvaos, that's only water by itself and salt by itself. However, De'in Ma'arvin, Aval B'mayim U'melach Ma'arvin. But we'll say if you make salt water, suddenly salt water is more significant than salt by itself and water by itself, and you can use that for an Eruv. Look at Rashi, Ma'im U'melach, Ha'me'uravin Mazon Hein, L'tabel pito. So we'll say apparently people often used to make salt water to dip their bread into it. So once it becomes a condiment, already it becomes more significant and can in fact be used for your Eruv. So the Chad Masni, a Meiser, and another opinion taught this regarding to Meiser Sheni, money of Meiser Sheni. Lo shanu ela mayim bifne atzmo, melach bifne atzmo. When did we say that you can't use your Meiser Sheni money for water and salt? That's going to purchase water or salt. De'in nichin, but you can use meiser sheni money to buy salt water. So the one who learned this rule regarding meiser, if you could use most meiser sheni to buy salt water, then of course you can go ahead and use salt water for your eruv. But the one who taught it regarding eruv, by eruv it works. Aval a meiser lo. When it comes to money of Meiser Sheni, you can't use money of Meiser Sheni to go ahead and buy salt water. My time, or why not? Peira ba'inon. Because when it comes to Meiser Sheni, Rabbi said, we will see, you need a pri. Now we'll see, pri doesn't have to mean a fruit, but we'll see it ultimately means a solid object. You need something, you need, well, we'll define what pri means in just a little bit. But here's what we know for now is, it doesn't mean salt water. Very prevalent. Ki asa Rabbi Yitzchak masni a meiser. When Rabbi Yitzchak came along, he stated this rule in terms of meiser, that you could use ma'os meiser sheni. You can't use ma'os meiser sheni to buy salt or water, but you can use it to buy salt water. Meisvei, heyid Rabbi Yehuda ben Gadosh, that's named Rabbi Eliezer, shalbeis aba hayu lochin sir bikesef meiser. So also listen to this. So Rabbi Yehuda ben Gadosh testified that in his father's house they used to buy tzir. I will say tzir is brine. They used to buy fish brine with the money of Meister Sheni. The money of Meister Sheni. So the Gemara says, Amarlo. So he said to him, Shema lo shamata ela kishekirve dogim urachim bahem. Maybe the fish brine that they bought had what? Had fish kishkas in it. So we'll say when it has fish, yeah, that's premium. That's, you know, that's gold label. So now when it has the fish kishkas in it, so what's the idea? The idea is that's fish, meaning that already has something with mamushes. That's not just brine. That has some fish kishkas in it, right? Va'avid Rabbi Yehuda ben Gadish lo ka'amar ela b'tzir d'shumna d'peirihi. Ava'amayu melach lo. And even Rabbi Yehuda ben Gadosh would only say that this is permitted with tzir, the shumna depera. Shumna depera literally means it has the oil of the pri, right? So Hirashi points out over here, the shumna deperi, afilu kishayim kirve dogim u'rovin bo, yesham kitzas mishemen imamayu melach. So also listen to this, and if we take even a step further, even if the brine doesn't have the actual fish kishkas in it, what does it have? It has the fish oil, right? By definition, it's not just salt water, it has the fish oil mixed into it. But again, maybe he wouldn't just permit it with plain salt water. Rabbi Yosef, lo nitzracha ela shenasa l'socho shemen. Oh, what's the case over here? When does Rabbi Yitzchak allow water and salt, or I should say salt water, to be purchased with money of Maaser Sheni, that's only when you put a little bit of oil into it. So to say, then when you put a little bit of oil into it, then what? Then it becomes something worse than it becomes choshev. Amar le Abaye, the Sefer Klei Mishum Shemen. So the Rav says, okay, well, Abaye says, well, once there's oil mixed into it, then what? Then the Maaser, it's called oil. I said, then it's no longer called salt water, it's called oil. So the Gemara says, Lo tzricha shenasan d'mei mayim u'melach b'havla. So I said, this is very interesting. So you really have to understand, when you are buying, so let's say you have this mixture, and you have salt water and oil mixed into it. So the Gemara wants to say, well, just call that oil. You don't have to call it salt water. So the Gemara says, no, because remember, when you purchase it, part of your money is going towards what? Is going towards the salt water. But now what essentially what we're saying is, since there's also oil mixed in there, we view even the part of the Maaser Sheni that's going towards the salt water as being muvla, as being absorbed into the monies for the oil. Well, so we have this concept of havla in many different areas of halacha, that havla means essentially when something is primary, something is secondary, so we view the secondary as being absorbed or swallowed up by the primary. So in this case over here, very interesting. So now, really, it could be that I can't spend money, Maaser Sheni money, on just damn salt water. But when I have oil in the salt water, so the oil becomes dominant, and even though part of the money is being spent for what? For the salt water part of the mixture, the salt water part is absorbed by the oil part, and therefore I'm permitted to spend the Maaser Sheni money on it. So the Gemara says, so look at Rashi for just a moment. Bahavla, b'shil ha'mayim b'hamelech kana ha'shemen b'yoker. Because the salt water is there, the oil is more expensive. V'hevliya bo d'mehen. But the monies for the salt water is absorbed into the money for the oil. V'chi ha'gam l'shari Rabbi Yitzchak. And Rabbi Yitzchak allows it. So what's like in the chiddush over here is that even though I couldn't really purchase salt water by itself with my sheni money, but once there's oil into it, the monies spent on the salt water, which is mixed together with the oil, become absorbed into the monies for the oil, and it's one sanctioned purchase.
No matter how much oil is in there, maybe
I'm assuming over there, the other thing where it doesn't say, there must be some amount where the oil, where the oil is clearly the dominant thing. That seems to be what it's talking about over here, even though the Gemara doesn't clarify that. So the Gemara says, what about, now is havla permitted? Is this concept actually permitted? So the Gemara says, Bahatanya, but we learn, Ben Bagbag says the following, Baboker. Also listen to this. Now what the Torah is going to examine over here, this is the pasuk by Maaser Sheni. So the Torah over here, let me read you the pasuk in its entirety. So the pasuk says, let's say I'm not bringing up all of my Maaser Sheni produce, so what do I do? I'm going to go ahead and essentially transfer the sanctity of my Maaser Sheni produce, right, onto money. I'm going to take that money to Yerushalayim, and when I'm in Yerushalayim, I'm going to buy stuff, and I'm going to eat it in Yerushalayim. So now the Torah says, "V'nasata ha-kesef v'chol asher ta'aveh nafshecho." You will spend. I'm just reading you the puzzle. It's not in the Gemara yet. You'll spend the money anything you want: ba'bakar, u'batzon, u'bayayin, u'bashechar, with cattle, sheep, wine, and shechar. Now, what's a shechar? Often means beer, right? Here we'll also see it also mean aged wine. But so well, you'll see why I say that in just a little bit. So the Gemara breaks up this pasuk. Babakar, what does it mean you could buy cattle? Melamed shalokhin bakar agav oro. Well, so here's something very interesting. You can purchase cattle. Now what are you going to do with the cattle? You're going to eat the cattle. Right? You're going to eat the cow. But interestingly enough, what do you have left after you shech the cow? You have a hide. Now, what's the status of that hide? Interestingly enough, that hide is yours. Right? You don't have to give that hide to the kohen. That hide is yours. Now, what's interesting over here? So you're going to purchase a cow with Maaser Sheni money, even though what? Even though the hide itself is going to be used for chulin purposes. So by bakar, milamei shlokin bakar agav oro. Look at Rashi for just a moment. By bakar, hoil uksiv b'chol asher ta'aveh nafshecha. The pasuk says you could spend the money on whatever you want. But I will say, what does it mean, whatever you want? What does it mean, whatever you want? It means whatever you want. So if you tell me, whatever, why do you have to say, spend the money on whatever you want? Bakar, tzon, yayin. Okay, I got it. You already told me whatever I want. Why do you have to go through each one? So the Gemara is coming to, Gemara is saying now, the Torah is coming to teach me something additional. So for example, back to that Rashi just a moment. Babakar, since the Torah already said, you can buy whatever you want, Lamali lemichtav babakar batzor b'yayin lebeshechar. Why does it have to say with your cow, sheep, wine and shechar? Elo ledrushes. Rather, it's coming to teach us different drushes. Babakar lamdecha shlokin bakar agav oro. V'yatza ha'or lechulin ve'in tzorech lemachro ulachser ulaachlo b'yirushayim. So also, here's what I would have thought. I would have thought that maybe when you buy an animal with money of Ma'aser Sheni, then what? The entire animal becomes Kodesh. Even what? Even the hide. So that after I eat the meat, what do I have to do? I then have to sell the hide, and I have to once again use that money to purchase food in Yerushalayim. Kamash on the Torah says, Babakar Melani, Shelokhin Bakar Agav Oro. That I can go ahead and, purchase the cow, and the meat itself is consecrated, but the hide is not. Ubatzon, what does it mean when it teaches me I could buy sheep? I can purchase sheep and eat the meat, right? And what? And the shearings, the wool, is mine. Ubeyayin, and with wine. Right? I could go ahead and purchase wine, and what? And the barrel is mine. Bashechar, what does it mean with the shechar? So it's talking about the dregs. Right? So you can go ahead, after you purchase the wine, you could go ahead and you can make something called temed. So temed was a wine, like you take the dregs, and essentially you would just pour water on top of the dregs. And the acidity of the dregs would create this drink called temed. So what's the idea in all of these cases? I'm using money of Ma'aser Sheni, and yet what? So the primary object is going to be used for Ma'aser Sheni purposes. But money is still being spent on a secondary item. That's what? That is going to be used for my own purposes. So what do you see over here? This is the concept of Havlah. That we assume, even though again the hide is going to become mine, but the money for the hide is absorbed into the money for the meat, and therefore the Ma'aser I could use Ma'aser Sheni even for all of these things. Amr of Yochanan, man demetargim li babakar, aliba de ben bagbag. So the one who could explain to me the need for the word bakar. Now we're going to see what he means in just a little bit. Rabbi Yochanan feels that the babakar is extraneous. You don't really need it. You'll see why in just a moment. So whoever could explain to me the need for the word bakar, quite ben bagbag, movilna mane avasrela be masusa. I will carry his clothing to the bathhouse. And I will say, well, that's an expression of. It's an expression of servitude, right? So if a person would have an attendant, the servant would often carry the clothing of the master to the bathhouse. So you hear Rav Yochanan saying, if somebody could explain to me why you need the word babakar, I will carry his clothing to the bathhouse. My taima, kulut tzrichi lebarim yabakar. Because Rav Yochanan suggests that all the other phrases or all the other words are necessary except for bakar. Why? So the Gemara says, the ikas of Rachmana babakar, because if the Torah would have just said babakar, hava amina bakar hu dimizdamin agavoro, mishum de gufehu. I would have thought that the reason why you can get away with havla by bakar is because the hide itself is attached to the flesh. So if the hide is attached to the flesh, okay, you can't not purchase the animal without the hide. About so, when it comes to sheep, agav gizasa. When it comes to a sheep with its shearings, the lav gufehu, with the shearings are not part of the animal, the body of the animal. Emalo, I'm going to put what's Rabbi Osai. Maybe I can only see the Ma'aser Sheni on what? On the actual flesh of the animal, but not the shearings. The ikas of Rachmana Betzon, agav gizasin. If it would have just said sheep, and again, sheep would have taught me that I could go ahead and use Ma'aser Sheni when he purchased the whole sheep, and yet I get to keep the shearings for myself. Havamein mishum de mechuberba. I would have said that's because at least the wool is attached to the animal. But wine, which is not attached to the barrel, so to speak, so the mice maybe it shouldn't be able to keep the barrel. Because of Rachmana b'yayin, I would just said b'yayin. Hava aminu mishum dahainu nitiruse. Maybe the barrel is included with the wine. Why? Because the barrel is there to guard the wine. Aval temed mishehichmitz dikiyu ba'almahu imalo. But temed, when it becomes acidic, which is only kiyuha literally means acidity, it's nothing. It's nothing. There's nothing to it. So therefore, kasev rachmana shechar, vikasev rachmana b'shechar, hava amina my shechar. If we just said b'shechar, what shechar? Maybe dveila ki'ilis. Maybe shechar actually means pressed figs from the city of Ki'ilo. Ki'ilo is a place. De peiruhu, aval yayin agav kan kano emalo. that maybe wine with its barrel? No. Because of Rachmana Yain Agare Kankano, Dahinu Nitiruse. But if we'd have told me just wine, I would have said wine, you could take the barrel also, because that's where you guard it. Avatsona Gabi Gizosa Imalo, but the shape with its shearings, no. Because of Rachmana So, Dafilo Agav Gizosa. Supposed to say, watch this. So now, here's what we know. So now, Son teaches me. So now, what do we learn? So all the Gemara was just pointing out over here is you need all of these different statements, all these different phrases or words, because really one could not have learned one out from the other. But here's what we do now. Now we have Son. Son teaches me that what Rabbo said, that I could use Mo's Meister Sheni, and I could go ahead, purchase the sheep. I eat the flesh, I eat the meat in Yerushalayim. And what do I do with the shearings? Oh, the shearings? They're mine. They're mine. So now that I have that, Babakar Lamali. Why do I need babakar? Why do I need the ox or the cow? After all, v'chitema ilo kasav rachmana babakar hava aminat son agav ora'in agav gizasalo. So maybe you want to say that if it wouldn't have said babakar, so I would have just known that you could get the flesh of the tzon, but not the shearings. Therefore, kasav rachmana babakar la'asuye oro. So therefore, the Torah comes to teach me babakar. Teach me that I could eat the hide, that I could keep the hide, I could keep the skin. Iyaser leit tzon. La'asuye gizasa. Therefore, tzon is there in order to teach that I could keep the shearings. Ilo kasav rachmana bakar, lo hava amina tzon. Lo hava amina tzon agab ora'in, agab gizasa lo. De'im kein lichtov rachmana bakar, de'memela iyaser leit tzon. V'cheivan de kasav rachmana tzon. Da'afilu agav gizasa babakar lamali. So what's the Gemara asks a very simple question. If tzon is true, then all the more so what? Bakar is true. Why, Rabbi Hosai? Because what does tzon teach me? Tzon teaches me that not only could I eat the animal and its flesh, but what? I could even keep the shearings. But Rabbi Hosai, remember, shearings are one step removed from hide. Why? Because the hide is mamish, part of the flesh of the animal. Right, the shearings can be very easily removed from the animal. So essentially, the Gemara is saying is what? Is that Lemaisa, if the Torah is already teaching me that I can go ahead and what? Keep the actual shearings of the animal, then or the more so what?
The bakar,
the hide of the bakar. In which case, once it's saying tzon, why do they need to bring in bakar? Hash tzon agav gizasim is davna. Bakra agav oromi boy. Once you're telling me that I could already go ahead and keep the shearings, right? I could purchase with my sheni money the sheep and eat the flesh and keep the shearings for myself. Then of course it goes without saying that I could purchase the bakra and keep the hide for myself. Why is bakra needed? Interestingly enough, the Gemara doesn't answer this question. It's a good kasha. And this is why Rabbi Yochanan said, whoever could explain to me why it is that I need the word bakar, according to Ben Bagbag, I would carry their clothing to the bathhouse. So essentially Rabbi Yochanan is saying, I think it's a good kasha. I'm still not clear as to why you need the bakar. And whoever could explain to me, I will be a servant to them. So I'll say, what is at the root of this machlokes? So listen to this. Rabbi Huda ben Godesh Rabbi Eliezer, Darshi Ribuye Umeute. Mostly what you're going to see at the root of this machlokes over here is a fundamental machlokes as to how to go ahead and Darshim Sugin. I will say what we're going to see, the Maradira doesn't tell us what they're arguing about. What we're going to see they're arguing about is, can you use money of Maiser Sheni, right, to go ahead and purchase brine, fish brine, right? We'll see, everybody agrees you can purchase fish. Can you purchase fish brine with money of Maiser Sheni? So the Gemara says, what are they arguing about? So they're arguing about how to dash in the Pesukim. So Rabbi Huda ben Godesh, Rabbi Eliezer, dash Aribuy and Miute. So we'll see Rabbi Huda ben Godesh, Rabbi Eliezer, dash in Aribuy and a Miute. We'll see what that means in just a moment. Vahani Tanoi, dashi Kvali Uprati. And these other Tanoim are darshaning a klal and prat. So what does this mean? Rabbi Huda ben Gadash Rabbi Eliezer darshi riboy emiute. So Rabbi Huda ben Gadash Rabbi Eliezer darshan a riboy emiute. What does that mean? V'nasata b'keset b'chol asher ta'ada nafshecha. So remember, this is the pasuk by Meister Sheni. So now remember, I have produce, I've transferred, I live outside of Yerushalayim, I'm transferring the sanctity of the Meister Sheni onto my money, I'm bringing my money to Yerushalayim. Now what does Torah say? Spend your money on whatever you want. Riba, they'll say that is a ribui. Ribui means an inclusive statement. Spend whatever you want, that's a ribui, coming to include. Babakar, batzon, ubayayin, ubashechar. Miet, that's a miot. That's an exclusionary phrase. Because now what is happening? The Torah is giving me a limit. By bakar, tzon, yayin, shechar. Bechol asher tish'alcha nafshecha, anything you want, chazar v'riba. That once again is an inclusive phrase. So what do we say? Riba umiet v'riba. So we'll see this is one of the exegetical principles of a riboy and miut. So what do we see? The Torah made an inclusive statement, a limiting statement, and an inclusive statement. What do you do with that? So the Gemara says, riba umiet v'riba, riba hakol. So when you see a setup like this, this comes to include everything. So the Gemara says, what does everything mean? My Rabbi kol mili. It comes to include the fact that you can buy anything you want. Umay miyet. But yet obviously it comes to exclude something as well. The Rabbi Eliezer miyet tzir. According to Rabbi Eliezer, it comes to exclude the fact that you can't buy fish brine. The Rabbi Huda ben Gadish miyet mayim umelach. According to Rabbi Huda ben Gadish, it means you can't purchase with most Meister Sheni water and salt. The Hani Tanoi, but these other Tanoim, Darshi Klaliu Prati. They dash also, it's called the Klalu Prat. This Sanyo, Vinasata Akesef, Echolesher Tada Nafshecha Klal. Torah is making a klal, a general principle. Babakar Ubatson Ubayayin Ubashechar Prat. Torah is telling you something specific. Becholesher Tish Alcha Nafshecha Chazar Vekolal. Torah is making another principle. Klal uprat uklal. I will say, what do you do when you see a klal uprat uklal, a principle, a statement, or I should say, a principle, an exception, and then a principle? I'atodon elokein haprat. You have to go ahead and use the prat as your guiding light. Maha prat mufurash primi priu gedule karko. Just like the prat, bakar tzon yayin shechar is primi pri. And I will say, what is primi pri? Look at Rashi. Primi pri means fruits from a fruit. Egel nolod miimo. So each of these items come from something else, right? An animal is born of an animal. A grape comes from the vine, ugidule karka, and they are nourished from the ground. Either grow from the ground, or like the animals that are nourished from the ground. Af kol primi pri ugidule karka. This comes to include anything else that is a primi pri, that is born of something else, and ultimately is nourished from the ground. The Tanya Idach, and the other Braisa says, Maha prat mufurash vlad v'lados ha'aretz, af kol vlad v'lados ha'aretz. But you have another Braisa that says, that the prat is vlad v'lados ha'aretz. So I will say, look at Rashi, vlad v'lados ha'aretz, shenivru min ha'aretz b'maseh bereishis, things that were created from the ground during the creation story. Right, so we'll say, so again, animals were originally created from the dust of the earth, right, from the ground. So the yayin, the grapes, were created from the ground. Af kol vlad vlados aretz. So too, it comes to include anything that originally comes from the ground, from my separations. My benayu, what would be the practical difference between these two approaches? Amra baye dogim ika benayu. You know what the practical difference would be? Always say would be fish. Leman d'amar primi pri gedule karka hani dogim gedule karka nenu. So the one who says it has to be something a primi pri, something that comes forth from something else and is nourished from the ground. Dogim fish fit the bill. A fish is born of a fish, and what? And apparently, according to the Gemara, it's nourished from the ground. Because I guess the fish also eats the sea things that grow in the ocean. That's called nourished from the ground. However, leman d'amar Vlad Velados Haaretz, but according to Madame, who says that you can only use from most Meister Sheni those things that originally were created from the ground, Dogim Mimayim Imru. The fish were not created from the earth, the fish were created from the sea. Alright, there was no stop over here. But the point is, what we see over here is that the Maisa, the fundamental machlokis as to what you could purchase with Ma'us, Ma'is, or Sheni, is all based on how you dash in the Pesukim. Whether you're going to use the Ribui Umiut principle, or you're going to use the Klalu Prat principle.